There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Midday Mobile. This will be a perfect, beautiful Midday Mobile. Both perfect and beautiful coming up today on a Tuesday, this first day of October. Hey, y'all. I'm Sean Sullivan, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Love to hear from you. But most 99% of you love to hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming up on the show today, lots to do, a lot of guests coming through. Let's take it from the end and work it backwards. Coming up at 1:30, author Watt Key. He has a new book out called Bay Boy. He's going to talk about the new book, and we'll get to bounce around some stories of growing up on the Bay with Watt, and he and I'll probably talk some Delta stuff as well. Love to hear from you in that half hour. That's at 1:30. At 1 o'clock, Congressman Bradley Byrne joins us. A lot to talk about with the congressman. Last week, I was in Washington. He came by. We talked there when I was broadcasting from Washington. That will get him back on because there's a lot to get into from that time, the impeachment discussion then, to now. We're going to talk about where he's hearing things are in the House. Of course, he is a member of the House. And we'll talk impeachment with him. And also, I want to get his thoughts on the late Congressman Jack Edwards, since AL1, the office that Bradley Byrne occupies is the same office that was occupied by Jack Edwards, who will be laid to rest tomorrow in Fairhope. And we'll talk more about Jack Edwards' legacy here on the show. And coming up this hour, my buddy Dale Leash from LandNap joins us. This is that story I mentioned yesterday, and this is, as city council, are they still meeting, Dalton? Are they? I don't have the horrible audio from the city council meeting coming into the studio anymore. It's this thing. Can I volunteer? I'd like to get back to, you know, get back, and I'll get back to my city in this case. Can we, and maybe a couple other radio people, other radio stations in town? I know y'all don't listen, right? But so let me talk to you directly. Other radio stations and us, can we all volunteer our time to go down and help get the audio situation? I know they've got video coming from, and maybe, you know what, my friends at the TV stations as well. Why don't we get a group of us, and then we can go have like a late lunch or something afterwards. We go down one day to Mobile City Council, and we figure out what the heck is going on with the live feed audio. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? Do we have some... Even some of y'all that don't work in TV or radio, but you have, you know, some good audio sense, can you help? Can you help? So we get a group together that goes and tries to do something for, number one, keeping the video lined up with the audio. Number two, getting some kind of audio that you can listen to, that's not all gunched up here. And I know a lot of it may be coming from the fact that it's an internet feed, and maybe that is what's slowing down. Maybe we're getting some buffering issues going on there. Whatever it is, we've got to address it, all right? But we'll talk to Dale about not the audio portion of it, but now going on. Look, we're over a year now with the debate who does what with Mobile City Council and the mayor's office, and we'll get into that coming up with Dale at 12:30. Plus, we'll probably lament the audio issues down there. All right, so that's on the way. And also in this half hour, I do want to address this. I said it this morning. It's hard for me to say, but I'm just going to say it. I agree with California Governor Gavin Newsom. I think, and I've said, gosh, it's been one of my pet unpopular opinions from back. I remember poking my head in on a sports show here in town 16, 17 years ago, I worked at the rock and roll station and the sports station, which was, and they asked me, and I poked my head in, and oh, people were clutching pearls when I said I think college athletes should be able to get somebody off if somebody's selling jerseys off their name and their performance, and people are packing stands and their fan. I said I think they should be able to. That is capitalism. That's a great lesson in capitalism for it. And they say, and people, oh, they get their room and board and all that. And I said, is that commiserate with the job they're doing? Does that equal, you know, what kind of wage for the talents of these athletes? Well, it was met with many gasps back then. How dare I blaspheme like that? Now it seems like there's a lot more blaspheming going on. And we'll get into that. What does it mean if California, like Dalton said this morning, California started this, but there's this three-year window that is probably to get a lot more people on board here, a lot more teams on board, states on board. And I said this morning on Twitter, you know, once the states figure out they can make a little tax revenue from this, maybe they're on board too in the legislatures. This is what should happen. How will it be derailed? We'll see. But it's coming to Alabama. Maybe at least the question. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. All right. Phone number and text line is 343-0106. Remember, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. You can reach out to me directly on Twitter at FMTalk1065. That's all me. It's all my fault. Also, you can check us out on the website, FMTalk1065.com, whether you're looking for podcasts, online opinion poll questions, show schedules, top news stories of the day, all waiting for you over there. And you can stream us there as well. All right, to the phones. We'll grab a call here. Usually don't grab a call in the first segment, but it's you're saying it's our buddy Thomas in Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Hello, Sean. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on. Quickly here, I have two things. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you and your staff and your company for being selected Small Business of the Month. It's been through your determination and courage through these years. You've really created something, and you're an engine in our community.
You're too nice. You say all that, do you mean stubbornness? Probably. I've just been stubborn and haven't gone away.
You get the horn, but I want to tell you. You create, give these kids their money, you're going to create 16-year-old millionaires, and there's going to be tragedy.
But who's going to, it's not Doogie Howser we're talking about. How are they getting into college at 16? I went at 17.
I was in at 15. You can get there when you skip grades and you're smart.
Yeah, well, I thought I was smart getting in at 17. You went in at 15?
Yeah. I got a buddy here in town. He graduated Harvard at 16.
Who is that?
That's Underhill. David Underhill with the Sierra Club.
Yeah, I know David. He graduated
smart
at 16.
Good guy.
Graduated at 16. I have been around him
graduated
and never knew.
Graduated Harvard at 16, yes. His father is brother is an airline pilot, and when we were remembering the fateful day where they crashed into the towers, I spent the whole day with David on the phone trying to find his brother and trying to see if he was
graduated Harvard at 16. Yeah. I need him to come over and guilt my children into getting cracking on the homework. That's what I need. That's awesome. Sorry, I did not know that. And you went in at how old?
15.
And here I thought I had something going in at 17. Nothing. Mine was just a birthday fluke. And I'm dealing with geniuses, man.
Well, the thing is, I don't know about geniuses. But anyhow, I swore on my mother my whole life, because going into school at three, I was just barely 4 years old. Everything... I was always the smallest kid, and puberty was way late. I didn't grow
TMI.
Hair.
TMI.
I tried to glue some hair on once.
TMI.
It didn't work out.
It's too much information. It's TMI. That's too much detail there. Too much detail. I'll tell you this. The going in young, I'll say this, and there may be people can hop on the text line. While I was the youngest person, I think the youngest or the second youngest in my class, you know what my reaction has been? Both of my children are now darn near the oldest in their class. My wife and I made that choice.
Oh, really? You did it on purpose. No kidding.
Yep. So there you go.
I did it over beer.
There you go. Thomas, I appreciate the call, and thanks for all the insight. And thank you for the accolades. Listen, it's a big crew of stubborn folks around here with me. Maybe that's our theme. I've been doing it all these years. It's our 10 years for FM Talk 106.5, locally owned radio station, which is definitely a unicorn in this world anymore. And to get that nod from the Chamber of Commerce, we sure appreciate that and appreciate y'all as well. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. So, Dalton, we talked about it this morning quite a bit about what transpired yesterday with Governor Gavin Newsom in California signing into law that would let athletes profit from, what, jerseys, mm-hmm. endorsements, those kind of things, right?
Yeah, the key phrase that has been used ever since the NCAA football game was taken off the shelves mm-hmm. is allow athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness.
Okay.
And that's what this
name,
bill,
image, likeness. Okay.
Name, image, and likeness. That's what this, which was signed into law yesterday on LeBron James' show. So right. LeBron James has, I think it started as a web series, but he's got this company called Uninterrupted, a media company. And his show on there is called The Shop, where he sits in a barber shop with other athletes or artists, mm-hmm. things of that nature. And Gavin Newsom, the California governor, he came in, I guess it was a special morning show edition yesterday or something like that. Maybe LeBron James had practice in the afternoon. But he signed this law there on the show. And the law basically, it doesn't say that colleges have to pay athletes. It just makes it illegal for schools to prevent an athlete from earning money by selling those rights to their name, image, and likeness.
So the school doesn't have to be party to it.
Right. The athlete.
But who gets to issue, like, let's talk jerseys for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You can't issue, could you say, for, which is big fantasy, I had any kind of athletic, you know, prowess and talent. And if I did, then I want to, and I'm playing for a university.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I can't go out and make a jersey looks like the university jersey with my name on it and sell it, or can I?
No, you can't, because they sign all of those contracts for who gets what rights. These schools, the big schools especially, and by big schools I mean probably the, maybe even all of the D1, when you talk about the 156 or 144, however many there are, from Alabama down to South Alabama, all of those schools sign a big contract with Nike, Under Armour, mm-hmm. Adidas, whoever, and that's who supplies their teams with the jerseys. Normally, those big companies also provide the fan wear,
okay.
as well. And then,
so if they, so yeah, so the university has the jersey going out. Let's say, and people want to get the jersey that says Sullivan across the back.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there was a Maryland Terrapins quarterback named Sean Sullivan years ago, and they want to have that jersey that says Sullivan.
Right. Well,
can I demand? Can I ask for that money?
Yeah, they'll have to work out some sort of deal there, because until now, the universities in their fan shops, their student stores, they've been selling the jerseys with only the number on there. So if you go to Alabama and you buy a 2 jersey from, I mean, a 13 jersey, what number is 2 again? It would make sense if he was number 2. If you buy a 13 jersey mm-hmm. at the Alabama store, you know whose jersey you're buying. It just doesn't have the name on the back of it now. And in this day and age where you can have the names printed on the back, someone will just go buy the jersey
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
have the name printed there on the back. Yeah, if they start selling the jersey with the name on there, you'd imagine the students would have to get some cut of that. But also, say Tim Tebow or Cam Newton were still in college
mm-hmm.
and people are going around selling their face on the front of a shirt. You don't necessarily need the university's permission to do
right.
that. You could sell a picture of Cam Newton on the front of a shirt and says, I don't know, Cam Juice or whatever he
right.
was famous for back then, or Tebow kneeling there. That person,
Tua the Hawaiian Prince, as
yeah,
you know, so and have, so what if I, yeah, if I'm Tua and I want to go out and just have somebody do a design for mm-hmm. me, it's not, doesn't say University of Alabama, doesn't say, says so Tua the Hawaiian Prince,
right,
or whatever, with a likeness of me, in this case being Tua, on there.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that and sell them and make money? And that's even outside the university.
Yeah, under this California law, I think that's exactly what they're aiming for. They also allow, under this law, student-athletes right now are not allowed to hire agents. until they've left school. Well, in basketball, that sort of changed over these last couple of years. They'll let them hire an agent, go through the NBA draft process up until the draft. Before the draft, they have to withdraw their name, fire the agent if they want to go back to school. But until then, until these last couple of years, they haven't been able to hire an agent at all until they officially turn professional. This will allow these student athletes to hire a agent to get them these marketing deals.
The pushback, because that's one of the text questions, are they going to be allowed to hire agents to market these athletes? And yes, you will. This texter says, do you think the bigger name schools would have an advantage in recruiting due to a bigger fan base and more merchandise sales? Would that hamstring smaller schools with smaller fan bases like South Alabama? Let me point to Dalton, because he had a brilliant take on this morning.
Well, yeah, and right now the big schools already have a pretty massive advantage because their facilities there on campus, the enthusiasm around the program is one thing, but the facilities they have there and what they're able to offer living situation-wise, food-wise, and most importantly, athletically, the big universities already have a really huge advantage. If you look at the top five schools, just think of how many of the top recruits they bring in every year. I think Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports was writing about this, and of the 97 five-stars, and I can't remember the time frame he had, but he said you have 97 five-star recruits going into college. I believe the top five schools in the AP rankings right now, which would be Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and I think Oklahoma might be right. No, Oklahoma's six. LSU's there at number five. Those top five schools, I think, got 55 of those 97 five-star recruits. So talk about an uneven playing field. I'm not saying that
it's already there.
I'm not saying it needs to be equal. I think that, you know, whatever you can do within the rules, so be it. That's why Alabama is so good, because Nick Saban is so great at operating within the rules and the frame of rules that the NCAA handed out there. But if you're worried about college becoming, about these athletics becoming unequal, well, it's already pretty unequal.
Right, but so you're saying if you're somebody that's going to be on down the pecking order, you may not go to Alabama because you may get maybe get more screen time, all those things that would help you make some more coin.
Yeah, so if you're a great player, best player that your town has ever seen, and you get the offer to go to Alabama, but while you're there at Alabama, you might only be the 15th, 16th best player on the roster, your jersey is not going to sell like Tua's jersey, Jerry Jeudy's jersey, so many of these top echelon players.
Right.
Your jersey isn't going to sell like that, so why not go to a South Alabama where you will be the number one star in Mobile, and more people will buy your jersey there. You might get more endorsement deals here in Mobile than you would up in Tuscaloosa. I think it'll actually maybe even the playing field a little bit more.
It might tempt that player, even though I can make the turnaround argument, say even if you're going to be 16th down the list and 16th in the pecking order, the total volume of fans is so big with Alabama versus another school. But if you hit it in the right, there's got to be a sweet spot.
Right.
That if, yeah, you go in somewhere, even though the volume of fan base at that smaller school in Alabama is, you're getting 80% of the merchandising. Your name. You're the star.
And also, these recruits, they'll have decisions to make. Do they want to go to a school where they might be the biggest fish in the pond? They'll sell their jersey. They'll look good. They'll sell endorsements to local auto dealerships and stuff like that. Or do they value winning, where they'll still want to go to a Nick Saban-led team, a Dabo Swinney-led team? They'll have decisions to make in that aspect. If you think that players aren't getting paid under the table, this whole college basketball scandal that's been going on, schools are getting crushed by the NCAA right now for paying under the table and finding a way to get these recruits into their schools. This will happen. I think it might, if this happens and goes nationwide, that the players will still be getting paid, but there might be a little bit more public notice. You might know a little bit more about what's going on.
Well, and I think that's that's a good thing, because two things. You're gonna see maybe even more motivation. And I know you're mush brain in college, but you'd be even more motivated to make sure you don't have some incident in the off season. You don't have some. I mean, kids are still going to be kids. And yes, college, I still call them kids. But if you know that there's money tied to it, not just, I think I can probably get away with this, I'll be suspended half a game or whatever, but if you think, I could lose that endorsement deal with ABC Widget Company out there, you may say, hey, guys, y'all go do that thing. I'm going to stay here at the dorm or whatever.
Yeah, you could see these companies dropping kids that aren't acting right.
Right, because that's just the business world. That's going to be a tough lesson.
Yeah, it sure will be. And, you know, there's a lot of aspects to this. Right now, the biggest question is, with California being the only state to legalize, to make this into law, even though it doesn't pass until 2023, before other states jump on board. And now there is, Ben sent me a link earlier, a state rep in Florida has filed a similar bill to what's going on in California. We'll see where that goes. They are pushing for it to go into effect July 1st, 2020, which would be very earlier. That would cause a lot more headaches for the NCAA, because the NCAA, they've pushed against any payment to athletes for so long. They've been so unwilling to give up any concessions at all.
Yeah, it'd have to be about face.
Yeah, now they're looking and seeing where, I think if you polled Americans, even though it'd be pretty split, I think a majority now would be in favor of athletes at least making profit off their likeness. Now, we've heard other people argue that you should pay athletes even across the board.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, being on the lacrosse team, you're not, you know, great
for
you.
They're already sharing that money. The reason the lacrosse team has funding, and nothing, I'm pro lacrosse, but I mean, is because the football team brings in cash.
But to me, a Tua Tagovailoa, a Jalen Hurts making money off of what they've done on the field and how great of a person they are off the field. Imagine how many more endorsements Tua would get because of what he can do in the community. I think that's just American, in my opinion.
All right. I think this is just probably the beginning of this debate, and be having it for a while. By the way, we'll wait for the legislature here in Alabama. They say they have no plans to move on this. Wait till they see some dollar signs. Dale Leash joins us next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Dalton, like we were saying yesterday, next thing you do, you look up and it's Columbus Day. It's Labor Day. Next thing you know, it was Columbus Day. You've not done any of your Columbus Day shopping. All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Y'all say hello to my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And Dale, they've got to have it figured out now, right? The mayor and the city council, do they work everything out today and everything's square?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in a perfect world, that would be the case. But we live here in this world, and they're still fighting.
I just started wondering this the other day, if they had the ability to call for impeachment, would there be a move from the council for impeachment?
You know, somebody brought up the possibility of impeachment, like during public comment section, and the council just laughed at him. So, no, I don't even think that if it were an option, I don't think they would even do it. So,
but you know, this is analog, though, at least through my eyes, and you can correct me if I miss facts, but I know the members of the council and the administration have both told me, I've had members of the council and I've had the mayor's administration tell me they're still doing the city's work. And I don't think they're completely not doing the city's work. But this saga has got to take away from doing the jobs that they were elected to do. The same way I look at Washington and say all this stuff is taken away from doing the people's work.
Right.
There's got to be some percentage of their time that they're not doing city council or mayor stuff, that they're doing fight with the other one stuff.
Well, and I'll give you a perfect example of the city's work not being done. And let me preface this by saying that council members and the mayor would say, you know, in the grand scheme of things, approving the budget in a timely manner probably doesn't matter because we just run off of last year's approved budget. But I mean, we're running into a situation. What is it? October? It's October 1st today. It's the start of the new fiscal year. And we have not passed a budget in the city of Mobile, and it's supposed to come up for a vote on the 8th. We probably won't pass it then because the hearing that they've got scheduled on sort of some of the things that are supposed to untangle this legal, legal wrangling is not even set till the 18th. So I mean, we're looking at maybe weeks of running off of last year's budget, and it's all because of this lawsuit.
So good. So that's something that's concrete. That's factual. Yeah. So in that case, they aren't doing what they're supposed to. And this is I say saga. It has been a saga. This has been going on. Well, we're looking at a year now, right? Right about a year.
Pretty close to a year. I think it was December of last year. So we're 10 months in.
Okay. What is, yeah. If you had a, your elevator speech here, if somebody said, Dale, man, what is the problem? What is the disagreement between the council and the mayor? How do you boil that down?
Okay, I'll boil it down as simply as I can. Basically, the council and the mayor want the court to decide based on the Zogby Act, the law that set all this government stuff that we know now into motion here in Mobile. They basically want a court to decide which branch, either the legislative branch or the mayor's office, the executive branch, which one can, you know, has sole authority to hire people and contract with people. The mayor says that only he can enter into contracts or can execute contracts, and that the council can vote on them. And the council says, no, we can also execute and vote on our own contracts. And so they're really trying to get a judge to decide who is right.
Have you, you know, I wonder, is it, and I've heard people use terms like something that's ambiguous.
Ambiguity.
Thank
yeah.
you. In referencing the Zogby Act, is it not laid out clearly? Is there not a something that makes sense, or is it laid out for interpretation? What's your sense in looking at this?
I mean, ambiguity is what makes the law fun, right?
right.
And just in general. Yeah, no, it depends on who you talk to, but it seems like you could interpret it either way if you read the law, which I guess is the essence of ambiguity. The issue that's holding up the budget negotiations right now is over whether how much money the mayor is allowed to use for salaries for the non-merit employees or the employees that he appoints to positions, and so that's there's a bit of ambiguity there. I mean, if you read it, it's straightforward, but the mayor's office is arguing that there's ambiguity as far as whether or not that number is, you know, is basically just where the salaries get started, or whether it's the actual limits on the salaries. And it's $100,000 is what the Zogby Act says. Zogby Act says there's $100,000 to hire Section 40 or non-merit employees, and that's all you get, and you got to make the salaries work with that. And an attorney general's opinion, which doesn't help the ambiguity, attorney general's opinion from a few years ago says, no, if the council approves the budget with those salaries in it, those are the salaries they get. So, and that's a whole other. I mean, that's a whole other offshoot of this whole thing. But yeah, there's ambiguity built in for sure.
Okay. So the mayor's reserve for hiring non-merit employees, $100,000, right? But the argument is that that's in total, or that's the beginning of the and then if you had the city council approve a certain employee, does that count against the $100,000, or is that in lieu of?
Well, according to an attorney general's opinion, and let me preface that by saying that, you know, an attorney general's opinion doesn't mean a whole lot when it goes to court. I mean, it can be used as evidence, but if it goes to court and a court rules that you know the council's right, then they're going to throw that attorney general's opinion out the window, right? So basically, yeah, the disagreement on the non-merit employees is basically the council says no, that's the threshold, that is the absolute upper limit of salary. Spend, and as we know, there are several employees that the mayor has hired that are making more than that.
Right, so but I mean, so people understand.
Now, be, you know, to make that change now would be kind of for everyone. And then the mayor's office is saying, no, we view that more as a floor sort of thing. Like, yeah, we have to have at least this much, but we can go well past it.
Okay, and if just joining us, talking to Dale Leash with Landyap and trying to get an idea here on the back and forth between the council and the mayor and what this is all over. Now, talk about the spending money here. It's it seems like, no, it doesn't seem like it is, that different groups get forced into battles or proxy wars. The overall wars between the administration and I think a lot of members of the council. You won't say all, but some members of the council.
Right.
Okay. And but what it does, because they can't just duke it out on something else, they find different issues to bring up, and those people bear the brunt of the disagreement between the executive and the legislative.
That's correct. I mean, that's basically what's playing out.
Right, because there's not been a question about this in the past. I mean, this is because we're now trying to establish some kind of precedent. This has obviously not been tackled in the past because maybe the relationships were different.
That's absolutely true. I think the relations were different. The attorneys involved were different. And all of that kind of, you know, mixes together is we're going to figure this out now. And you know, both sides have told me that they want to get this figured out. They want a court to, since mediation has failed, they want a court to determine for them how to go forward so that future mayors and councils don't have to deal with this. So, that you know, there is some good in here somewhere. I just, you know, I think a lot of taxpayers wish that it wasn't costing us money.
Yeah, I want to get into the money in just a second. But before I do, though, you talk about the mediation thing. I scoffed at that while it was happening for many reasons. But the key one is what we're talking about right here. The fact that, say the mediation would have been successful, the way I understand it, that would just mean that the two groups have agreed to this. This is the new agreement. But that wouldn't codify any change or any clarification to the Zogby Act. Am I right?
That you're correct. It would not have done anything for future mayors and councils.
What a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're going for something real.
Absolutely. And I mean, mediation was probably never going to work anyway. I mean, I don't know how you mediate completely different interpretations of one particular law. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm not a lawyer. Maybe you could do it. But it just seems like it was never going to work.
So now we're looking at this, doing it the way they should have done it from the beginning. And, of course, the lawyers are involved. And you rolled out, the people out there have been wondering, how much is this costing taxpayers? You roll out some real numbers in your story in Lagniappe. Sure. Tell folks what's being spent here.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I wrote a story in April saying that I think $60,000 had been spent among the various law firms and lawyers involved in this. That has now doubled. We're up to about 120, give or take.
I'm sorry, your phone was cutting out there. How much?
Oh, sorry. We're up to about 120,000, give or take, in legal fees related to this lawsuit and its execution.
That is not money that went to pave streets, hire police officers, have concerts downtown. That's fees
that's
to lawyers.
That's strictly going to the lawsuit. That's right. That's right.
So y'all figure out whatever your appreciable tax rate is for the city of Mobile. How many of us it took to pay for that so far? All right. So then, as I always like to ask, can you hold on? Let me run to the break and we'll come back because I want to find out what's next. Right. I know we shudder to think what's next, but we'll ask that question of Dale Leash with Lagniappe when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, continuing our conversation with Dale Leash from Lagniappe and lagniappemobile.com. This is a saga, and I think I'm fair enough saying this is a saga. It's lasted, you said, that it'll be December will be a year.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and by the way, too, I think early November will be a year without a city council president, too.
It's been since the start of the term, whenever that was.
Well, that would be 2 years.
Two years.
I'm sorry. I was cutting them a year slack. Yeah, 2 years on that. Yeah. Okay. You pointed something out during the news break. I was lamenting the mediation stuff that I thought was a joke from the word go, and you said, well, we had to pay for that too. So how much money did we, the taxpayers, pay for mediation?
That's that bill ran us about $28,000.
Give me peace, Lord.
And the mediation was court ordered. Now, I will say that. I mean, it wasn't like they chose to do mediation, but it was court ordered, and it did cost us $28,000.
Yeah, but it wasn't going to accomplish. It should have gone straight to where it is now and skipped that step, because in the mediation, I want people to understand this, and I know probably most people get it. If there would have been an agreement made in mediation, it would have only applied to the current players right now, and in the future, it would have had no bearing on the Zogby Act.
That's correct. That's the way I understand it. So really, it would have been, we could have been having this fight 20 years from now.
No, we're paying for it once, and we're not going to pay for it again. You rolled out some of the, I mean, we're over $100,000 in legal fees, right?
That's correct. 120.
Yeah. 120,000. We the people are paying, and we still don't have. We're working off last year's budget because they can't get an agreement. And it's, you said October 18th before we get some decisions on this.
Yeah, there will be a hearing about the just about the non-merit employees and what that threshold should be. And that's a hearing. I don't know when the decision will be made. That's just the a hearing. But there'll be a hearing on that Friday, October 18th at 10 a.m. in Judge Young Peter's courtroom.
Is it, I mean, can we expect the what's next portion of this, Dale? Can we expect on the backside that it'll be, here's what the Zogbiak says when it comes to merit employees. Here's who gets to hire. Will we get something like that? Will this, since we're paying for it, will we have something concrete moving forward?
I expect that we will. There's been enough pressure from both attorneys to kind of get this question answered, or both sides, or more than two attorneys, but to get both sides want this question answered so that we can go ahead and approve this budget. And as it is, it'll be at least 18 days late, if not longer. So I think we will see some sort of ruling or action that will, you know, determine where we go as far as the budget's concerned. Now, for the rest of it, you know, I can't tell you because there's nothing has been scheduled on any other parts of this lawsuit, so I don't know where the rest of it's going to go. But at least initially, it looks like this hearing will be the start of some sort of action.
By the way, a couple questions coming in here on the text line. This one says, we have a city attorney, talking about Ricardo Woods, we have a city attorney, what are his duties? Why do we have to pay another attorney? Well, can I explain that? That we got the council, too.
So as city attorney, Ricardo is paid $55,000 a month. Or not Ricardo, but his law firm, Byrne Foreman,
yeah,
is paid $55,000 a month. That's a retainer. So, I mean, he's not being paid anything additional for this lawsuit. And in fact, the mayor's only legal fees are paid to some of the staff members at Cunningham Bounds. I think they paid $11,000. The two or three attorneys for Cunningham Bounds are actually doing it pro bono. So you're not seeing a large chunk of the money coming from mayor's office. That being said, you're absolutely right. Why can't the city attorney deal with this on his own? I don't really know the answer to that, other than, you know, he's got other lawsuits and things to deal with, and there may be some sort of issue with, you know, maybe some conflicts or something along those lines too, because he's actually mentioned in the lawsuit as well for you know, separate issues. So you know, I don't really know the answer to that, but that just seems to be standard practice because the council's attorney has done it too.
To a lot of people, they've heard that this issue's been going on, but until, like, going through your story here, they probably didn't know the specifics, and they're probably have an increase in blood pressure going through this. All right. and we're not, like you said, we're not done yet. You have the hearing on the 18th. This could be, I don't know how long, this could be a long time coming before we've, I mean, I think as a citizen of Mobile, man, I would just like to know what the law says. I mean, that's not partisan. That's not for the mayor's team or for the council's team. I just want to know what the law says.
Right, right. And I agree with you there. And hopefully we'll at least get a rule. Because it, like I said, it is ambiguous. And I think, I don't know what, it just seems like laws are set up that way to kind of be ambiguous so people have something to argue about. I don't know. But with the Zogbiak specifically, I mean, you can read various parts of it, and you can read it, and it looks like the mayor's right, or it looks like the council's right, and, you know, I guess the judge will ultimately determine who actually is right.
Of course, my other worry is what else is in there that we haven't, they haven't arrived at yet that is not clear, you know, that's not clear to the reading of the Zogbiak. Now I just go, please let this be the last thing.
And, you know, there are council members who have told me, and I would tell you who it is, but I don't really know if it was in confidence or not, but I can't remember. It's been a while. But the council members who have told me personally that they feel like it may be time to revisit the whole Zogbiak and look at it at kind of maybe getting an update. So I don't know. I don't know what this will bring. I don't know what we're looking for as far as the lawsuit in the future, but there are at least a couple of council members who are eager to look at the entire law.
Am I right, too, that if we made changes with the Zogbiak, we have to have some approval from Montgomery? Isn't that
state law. The Zogbiak is a state law that set up Mobile's current council mayor form of government. So, yeah, it would have to go through the legislature.
Wow. All right. That adds extra stuff to it. Dale, as always, great reporting, great work in Lanyap. And remind folks, too, they can pick up a copy of Lanyap where? I mean, like what? Like how many places are y'all in now? Thousands?
I don't want to get it. 1,200 locations?
I think
maybe?
That's right. Yeah. Yep. And
yeah, I think that's what they tell me to say. yeah. Yeah. I mean, grocery stores, restaurants, bars, where you get your hair done, all those places. We've got, you know, we got Baldwin Edition over in Baldwin doing its thing. So just read it, please. Keep me employed.
Good deal, man. We will, because you're doing great work. Dale Leash from Lanyap, thank you for your time.
Thanks.
All right. Always great. Really great read. You got to go through that and check it out, because believe me, I have a feeling that between now and December, this conversation is going to keep going and going and going. Hey, coming up next hour, Congressman Bradley Byrne joins us. We'll be talking with him. Also, Watt Key, he's got a brand new book out called Bay Boy. He's going to join us at 1:30. A heads up here, this is neat. I've been telling you about Harry's for a long time. This is like Harry's meets history, shaving history. Pointed this out, that humans have been shaving for 5,000 years. From flint tools to shark's teeth to the first copper razor, we always knew that a great shave came down to simple, sharp, durable blades. The ancient Greeks didn't need the flex balls or heated handles, so nor do you. The folks at Harry's want to give you what you want, and that is a great shave. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use our code MOBILE at harrys.com. Harry's is a return to the essential. Quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. Here's how you get this great, great deal and join the 10 million of us that have been shaving with Harry's. You get a new customer deal. You'll get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer. All right, coming back, hour number 2 of Midday Mobile. Congressman Bradley Byrne joins us next. Y'all stay close.